Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. The book of Acts and the Holy Spirit as he's at work in the church, creating, sustaining, preserving the church of believers. So in the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit at work in a variety of ways. And one of those ways is some of the early missionaries, they receive instruction from the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Let me just give you one example of that. So in Acts chapter 8, we have Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, if you remember that account. And in, verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So as you know, the yeah. you know the account.
Yeah.
He crawls up in there, and what are you reading? He's reading from Isaiah. You know, what's this about? Who's Isaiah the prophet talking about here? And what does Philip do? Well, he preaches a sermon to him. He teaches, he catechizes, he speaks the word of God and explains the word of God to this Ethiopian, who then is baptized.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so right. Here you have the Holy Spirit instructing Philip what to do.
That's right. Holy Spirit's at work.
Yep.
Now, here's a side note, and I hope people rejoice in this. The Ethiopian tells Philip, what prevents me from being baptized? That verb is the same verb that Jesus uses in Mark's gospel when they bring the little children to Jesus to have him touch them and bless them. And he says, do not hinder or do not prevent. So same verb used here in Acts 9, what prevents me from being baptized? Very interesting, isn't it? And that's why the gospel reading in the baptismal liturgy is, do not prevent the little children, do not hinder them.
Right.
Because it's a reference to baptism.
Right.
All right, that's a side note.
Yeah.
Now look at Acts 13. Here's another example of the Holy Spirit doing his thing, having a church. Looking at verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius and Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. The Holy Spirit's having a church when and where it pleases him in those who hear the gospel.
We have in Acts chapter 21, the account where Agabus comes down from Judea. In verse 10, while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. An object lesson, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But once again, the Holy Spirit directing this, revealing this.
I want to just read it. I want to move on with this, the work of the Holy Spirit in Acts, by how the Holy Spirit enables and empowers men to preach Jesus. So, for example, I'm going to look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. That sermon is a Holy Spirit-filled sermon because it preaches Jesus. But notice, it's the Holy Spirit who, just as Jesus promised them, this would happen. And then look at Acts chapter 6, and I'm looking at verse 10. This is with regard to Stephen. So Acts 6, verse 10. Got to get there. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Interesting.
Let me go to Acts chapter 11.
This would be Barnabas?
Yeah, Barnabas. So verse 22, I'll just pick up there. So the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Once again, the Holy Spirit at work through these appointed men to be primarily then what? Preachers of the word.
Well, and
sermonizers.
Keep this in mind. In John's Gospel in chapter 20, Jesus does what? He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And this continues, doesn't it?
Right.
And by the way, folks, this is why when a man is certified to be a pastor, we have a service called ordination and installation, or installation ordination. Okay. And we pray and we lay hands, and the word of God is spoken to him. And in that, the Holy Spirit is given. For what reason? Now, don't misunderstand me. It's not done so that, oh, he never had the Holy Spirit. Now he's finally getting the Holy Spirit. No. But now, as our Lord instituted the office, and now as the Lord puts the man into the office, he gives the man the Holy Spirit to do his tasks, just like in John 20. Okay?
Because remember, those men, in and of themselves,
oh my goodness,
are no different than anyone else.
Well, yeah, and you look at
no
me and
free
you think,
will.
Yeah, well, yeah.
No power, no wisdom, right? Spiritually dead, blind, enemies of God. And yet, God, well, as I like to say, what else does God have to work with?
that's well put.
But he calls sinful men. He empowers them by his Holy Spirit to do that which he has tasked them to do.
That's the point. I was going to think about, we, in our first part of our study here, you know, we talked about how the genius of the small catechism, the third article, comes through. Well, for example, you know, does the book of Acts teach that people are converted by the Holy Spirit? Well, in Acts chapter 2, I'm looking at verse 38. Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you're converted, you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit at work.
And this promise is for you and for your children.
That's right. So this is, there are other texts. For example, with Paul in Acts chapter 9. Do you have that?
I do. So remember, Ananias comes. Ananias, go to Paul. No, thank you. That guy's got a reputation. Okay, but so Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, still known as Saul at that time, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. So once again, the Holy Spirit connected to the word proclaimed, the word of the Lord proclaimed through his man to Saul and baptism.
And we, in another episode, we read Acts 10 and Acts 11, how that happened with Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's another example. Now I'm looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 31. I want to read those verses. So Acts 4, 29 to 31. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. These are the threats of the authorities telling the apostles, you know, you can't do this stuff you're doing anymore. Don't do this anymore. So now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. And this is after they're released from prison, okay, in Acts chapter 4. My point is that the Holy Spirit is given for the sake of not caving in and not compromising. Now, brothers and sisters, as Scott and I are observing this in our little talk around the table here, well, thanks be to God that we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit when we were converted to the preaching of the gospel, when we were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. Thanks be to God that we drink of the Holy Spirit, Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks be to God that when the time comes, and it's coming, we've talked about this a million times, but we have to say it again, thanks be to God that we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we, as Christians in this country, will not cave and compromise when we are told, oh, you believe this about such and such? You must stop that. And we will say, well, no, no, thank you, but no. We will confess Christ and what he has taught, whatever the topic, and we'll suffer for it, but we will continue to preach boldly and teach boldly in our vocations.
And we have many examples of that in the book of Acts. And when persecution is endured, and what we're trying to emphasize here is the reason why these people can endure is not because of some character that they have, but because of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, thanks be to God.
Yeah. So you have the apostles hauled in. You got to quit preaching this Jesus guy. We must obey God rather than men.
Yeah,
standing before the authorities,
yeah.
or Stephen, who's preaching, and they're picking up stones, and yet he does not shut his mouth.
Right. The soft tyranny will come in the sense of you're going to lose your tax exempt status, both as a congregation, and we're going to sick the IRS on you personally, Pastor. You know, we're going to take everything. You know, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again just for the fun. I'm running wild again. But I would fully expect, and I wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way. Wouldn't be surprised. I hope it doesn't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised. So one of these days, you Lutherans who've got a lot of money invested in investments, maybe with Thrivent. And don't misunderstand what I'm doing here. I'm not trying to demean Thrivent in any way. I'm not doing that. They're wonderful what they do. Okay.
You're just saying it's a target.
What I'm saying is don't be surprised, folks, if you wake up one day and you get an email from your Thrivent agent saying, you know, your investments were all taken away from you. And you'll say, how can that be? That's my property. That's my personal money. And the federal government and the state government will say, well, you're a Christian and you've been labeled an enemy of the state. And therefore, you have no protection under the Constitution anymore. And it'll all be taken. Not only your reputation, not only your livelihood, but even your life as well one of these days. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
You know, and I think, Brent, we've talked about this many times, that I think people sometimes hear this kind of language and they're taken aback. Oh, you know, you're blowing things out of proportion.
Blowing smoke, yeah, right. Well, they're not paying attention then.
Well, yeah, right. And I think that's one of the things that we've tried to do is to help people see what is currently happening and the logical progression then of such things.
Well, I want to say two things. Number one, so in Acts here with the work of the Holy Spirit, we learn how the church grows through suffering and living under the cross, if you will. The Lord has a church even as she suffers. That's America has no clue of that. And secondly, you know, the whole bathroom thing that's going on in the United States right now, I'm telling you, I hope it doesn't happen, but I fear it will. Our congregations are going to be shut down because we don't have the proper bathrooms. You watch, because look, what's happening with the state of North Carolina and her governor, that they're being told that the federal government is going to shut you people down through lawsuits because it's a federal crime now what you're doing. It is civil rights violations. See, and when it's framed as civil rights violations, then there can be no opposition in any way, shape, or form. That's where we're headed with our congregation, just with a bathroom. If you don't have the right bathroom, you're done.
So the church lives in the midst of a world in which there is persecution, not only by governing authorities, if you will, but also by the masses in boycotting and so forth. And that's the pressures that may be coming upon the church, if you will. And yet one of the things as we've been trying to highlight here is that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who creates the church, who sustains, feeds, and nourishes the church through her Lord Jesus Christ, and will keep her even unto life everlasting. Peace be with you, folks.